As you're being seated and find your place, you can take your Bibles this morning and turn to Psalm 119, the 119th Psalm this morning. And we will be there momentarily as we resume our series here, Bible Principles for Daily Living. And be a little bit different of a text this morning. Of course, Psalm 119 has in it 176 verses. It's the longest psalm in your Bible. I had a preacher friend who one time he got up and he had the congregation turn to Psalm 119, and they would stand for the reading of God's word in this particular church. And he said, "Now we're going to stand for the reading of Psalm 119. And well, again, it's 176 verses. They'd be standing quite a while. But for our purposes this morning, we're going to kind of jump around the psalm as we look at our next principle here from the Word of God. But there was once an old preacher who said this. He said that a Bible that is falling apart usually belongs to someone who isn't. A Bible that is falling apart usually belongs to someone who isn't. Someone else once equated it to that if there is dust on the Bible, there will be dryness in the soul. If there's dust on the Bible, there will be dryness in the soul. And Psalm 119, where we are this morning, is not just the longest chapter in the Bible. It is also the longest chapter because it is about the longest lasting subject, and that is the Word of God. That is what Psalm 119 is ultimately about, the Word of God. You have 176 verses, you have 22 sections, each one of them for a letter of the Hebrew alphabet, and each one of those 22 sections, each one of them are broken into 8 verses. And so you notice there, Psalm 119, if you just start at verse number 1, you notice under or above verse 1, you'll see the word Alpeth, A-L-E-P-H. That's the letter A in the Hebrew alphabet. And then beginning at verse number 9, you have Beth, B-E-T-H, which would be the next letter, B. And then Gamil in verse number 17, Dalaleth in verse number 25, and so on and so forth. And each one of those 22 sections, they correspond to a letter in the Hebrew alphabet. And almost every verse, not all of them, but almost every verse references the Word of God. And Psalm 119 is what we would call an alphabetic acrostic. It's an alphabetic acrostic. In Hebrew, each section begins with the same letter. Alpeth, Beth, Gamil, etc., etc., etc. And this structure was designed to help both memorization and meditation. Because again, 176 verses, that's a lot of verses, that's a lot to read, that's a lot to learn, that's a lot to memorize, that's a lot to meditate upon. And so this is designed in such a way to help with that memorization. It is designed in such a way to help with that meditation on these verses. And it teaches us a very profound truth. And that is that God expects his word to be learned. God expects his word to be loved. God expects his word to be lived. And he expects it to be learned and loved and lived on a daily basis. And so this morning, we're not just necessarily looking at one or two verses here in Psalm 119. What we want to do is learn how to approach the Bible every single day. And so, again, here in Psalm 119, the author of the 119th Psalm, it is usually uncertain. It's not necessarily agreed upon who wrote the 119th Psalm. Traditionally, some believe it to be David. Some believe it to be Ezra after the exile, before Nehemiah. But it was likely written during a time of opposition. And we're going to see a little bit of that this morning, because the writer, whoever it is, whether it be David or Ezra, the writer is referencing affliction. The writer is referencing persecution. The writer is referencing slander. He is referencing prideful enemies. And yet, throughout all that suffering, throughout the affliction, throughout the persecution, throughout the slander, throughout the prideful enemies, throughout it all, his anchor is still found in the Word of God. His anchor is still found in the Scripture. Let's notice a few of these verses here this morning, if we could. Notice there, verse number 23. Psalm 119, verse number 23. The Bible says, "Princes also did sit and speak against me, but thy servant did meditate in thy statutes." Princes also did sit and speak against me. Then notice, if you would, verse 69. Psalm 119, verse 69. The Bible says, "The proud have forged a lie against me, but I will keep thy precepts with my whole heart." The proud have forged a lie against me. And then notice there, if you would, Psalm 157. Or 119, 157. "Many are my persecutors and mine enemies, yet do I not decline from thy testimonies." Many are my persecutors and mine enemies. We see that whoever the author of this particular psalm is, this is not a man reading the Bible on a beach somewhere on vacation with lemonade. This is not a man that is right now enjoying life. This is a man who he is clinging to the Word of God. He is clinging to Scripture when life is hard. And we have to just realize that sometimes life gets hard. And when life gets hard, it's very easy to close the Bible and get away from the Bible and get away from Scripture and get away from the words of God. But listen, when life gets tough, that's when we need the Bible the most. When life gets tough, that's when we need His encouragement the most. And if anything, this teaches us that we don't just read the Bible because life is calm. We don't just read the Bible because everything is going well. We read the Bible because life is not always calm, because things aren't always going well. And it's as if the Holy Spirit is saying that from beginning to end, from A to Z, from youth to old age, your life must revolve around the Word of God. And as you read Psalm 119, you see that it mentions the law, it mentions testimonies, it mentions precepts, it mentions statutes, it mentions commandments and judgments and word and way. Almost every verse points back to Scripture. Notice those verses that we looked at to begin. Notice there again, verse number 23. The author says there, verse 23, "Princes also did sit and speak against me." But then you notice the colon. "But thy servant did meditate in thy statutes. He was saying, listen, they're there and they're speaking against me. I have no other recourse than to meditate in thy statutes. Then notice verse number 69. The proud have forged a lie against me. Again, now they're lying about him. They're talking about him. They're lying about him. But then again, notice the colon, but I will keep thy precepts with my whole heart. And then verse 157. Many are my persecutors and mine enemies. But there that colon is again. Yet do I not decline from thy testimonies. In other words, no matter what it is that comes against me, I will not retreat from his word. And listen, that needs to be our mindset this morning. That no matter what happens to us, no matter what comes against us, we will not turn away from the word of God. That when life is at its toughest, we will open the Bible and find his help and find his hope and find his encouragement. And we see that this is not accidental, but this is emphasis. And so this morning, we're not merely just discussing Bible reading. There's a lot that can be said about Bible reading. Last year on a Wednesday night, we looked at how to study the Bible. And that was more of a systematic approach. This morning, it's just going to be more of, again, some principles for daily Bible reading. Not how to read the Bible necessarily, but discussing how as believers we must relate to God's word on a day-by-day basis. So there's four thoughts I want to give you this morning here from Psalm 119, and we'll see those this morning. The first is this. Number one, we need to love God's word. We need to love God's word. Notice there, verse number 97. Psalm 119, verse 97. Oh, how love I thy law. It is my meditation all the day. Oh, how love I thy law. The psalmist here does not say, oh, how I endure thy law. Or, oh, how I put up with thy law. No, he says, how I love thy law. That word law, it comes from the Hebrew ahab, which means a deep affection. It's a covenant loyalty. This isn't an emotional excitement. This isn't, I get excited for a little bit and then the excitement fades. No, that's not what this is. It's a devotion. It's a devotion to his word. And we see that why this love comes first, because you will not consistently read what you do not love. Listen, there's been many times I've went out, I've gone to a bookstore, I've seen a book on a shelf, and I thought, oh, that looks very interesting. And I'm the type of person, I see a book, and I usually pick a book. If I'm not necessarily looking for a particular book, I'll go to a bookstore, I'll see a book, and I'll say, oh, that title catches my eye, or that cover catches my eye. And so I'll get it, and I'll buy it. Or I'll go when I go to the library, I'll say, oh, that book looks interesting, and I'll take it, and I'll check it out, and I'll take it home, and I'll sit down, and I'll open it, and I'll start to read it. And then all of a sudden, I think, oh, man, this is not what I thought it was going to be. And so I just, if I bought it, I just quietly, you know, shut it. I put it on my bookshelf and never to open it again, never to read it again, because I didn't fall in love with it. It didn't grab me as some of my other books have. And so I have a whole library at the house in our upstairs study that it is just filled with books, some that I've read, some that I have marked up, some that I reference constantly and I go back to, and I love those books. I will never get rid of those books. But then there are some books sitting there on my shelf. I'm thinking, I just need to sometime go through these and bring them over here. And eventually we're going to get, you know, we have some books over here in the office. We eventually want to get them on some bookshelves for our library that you folks can check out. And I just think, man, I just need to get rid of these. Get these out of the house. And because I wasn't loving what I was reading. And you will not consistently read what you do not love. And Jesus said in John 14:15, if ye love me, keep my commandments. Affection fuels obedience. And so we need to love the Word of God. Because if we love it, then we will obey it. Notice there Psalm 119 and notice verse number 14. Psalm 119 and verse 14. The Bible says, I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all riches. David here, he compares scripture to wealth. It's kind of like if every morning at 6 a.m., you knew that somebody was going to deposit $10,000 into your account. You wouldn't oversleep another day in your life. Because you'd be like, oh man, 6 a.m. That's when that deposit's going to hit. I need to wake up and see and make sure it hits. You know, that's kind of like with our paychecks, right? And, you know, when you wait on your direct deposit, you know, you think, oh, this is the time it hits. And, you know, and you're like, you know, you wake up and you think, oh, okay, it hit. I can go back to sleep. Or if it doesn't, you know, or I remember one time I was it was Mandy and I, we were dating, and it was one of my first trips down to Texas, and I flew down, and I knew that I was flying in a day or two early before my next check was going to be direct deposited, and I was you know, waiting, and usually it would deposit. You know, it wasn't supposed to deposit until a little after midnight the next day, but usually it would deposit, you know, the day before, or it would start showing in your account. You wouldn't have access to it yet, but it would show a pending deposit or what have you. And so I just happened to, we went out to eat that day, and I just happened to check it, and no pending deposit. I thought, oh boy. And so I thought, oh, okay, well, it's probably, you know, just, you know, in Texas or, you know, whatever. And, you know, maybe there's a little bit of a delay. And so because of, you know, Texas is an hour behind Philly and things of that nature. And so, okay, no worries. And so I get back to my room where I was staying at night, and it got after midnight, and I checked the account and still nothing. And I still had a whole other, about a week there. I'm thinking, oh man, I'm going to run out of money before, and I have to, you know, I'm trying to impress this girl. This is the first time we're meeting, and, you know, I can't have her paying for things. And I thought, man, this is going to be embarrassing. And then I remember one time we went to, it was one Thanksgiving, Christmas, and we drove from Oklahoma down to Texas to be with Mandy's mom for Thanksgiving, and then we were going to fly from San Antonio to Philly to be with my dad for the week or so before Christmas. And so we took a 2-week vacation there, and I remember we before we left, we had our check direct deposit and thought, okay, it's not going to happen this time, we're going to be all right. And we get down to Texas, and we, you know, as one does when you get down and you get started on your trip, you hit up the local Walmart or whatever to get your, you know, necessities. And so we go through the line, and we swipe our card. And keep in mind, we just used it at McDonald's for breakfast, and so it went through. And I forgot this. We went through the drive-through, and I put the card in. The person took the card, and we drove off, and I left our debit card at McDonald's. And so I'm thinking, oh, okay, well, before we get the wallet, so we went back, picked it up, and I thought, okay. And so we go through the line, and we swipe our card, and declined. We're thinking, what? I said, we have money. And, you know, you go through a line, and you know, your card gets declined, and man, that's embarrassing. And so we start showing the cashier, no, look, we have money, you know, in our account. And, you know, they don't really care either way. And so we call up our bank, and they said, oh, yeah, we noticed that you were in Texas, and so we put a hold on your card, or we turned off your card so it couldn't be used. And I'm thinking, well, we appreciate the security, but could you, you know, maybe not do that next time, and we'll remember to tell you if we're traveling or whatever the case may be. And what was the oddest thing about it, the whole way from Oklahoma to Texas, we were using the card for gas and for lunches and for, you know, and we were using it. And so they had to see that there was a progression from Oklahoma to Texas. And but then when we get to Texas, they shut the card off. And so that's what David is comparing scripture to here. He's comparing it to wealth. And if someone would deposit that $10,000 in your account every morning, you wouldn't oversleep. But listen, this morning, God offers us spiritual riches every single day. Every single day that we open our Bible, we have spiritual riches awaiting us. And all we have to do is open the scriptures. Notice there, Psalm 119. And notice verse 103. 103, the Bible says, how sweet are thy words unto my taste. Yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. If you know and know anything about ancient Israel, at the time, honey was the sweetest substance known to man. There was nothing sweeter than honey. And the writer here of Psalm 119 says that your words are sweeter than honey to my mouth. God's word is not dry. And listen, sometimes we can fall into the trap. We read the Bible and we read certain sections of the Bible and we think, man, that's just dry. Listen, it's not the Bible that's dry. It's us that are dry sometimes. And if you find your Bible reading dull, you need to confess some spiritual coldness in your life. You need to pray for a renewed affection. You need to remove distractions. You need to ask God to restore a hunger for his word. Jeremiah 15:16, the Bible says, thy words were found, and I did eat them. Now listen, you cannot love what you never taste. If you never open the Bible, you can't love it. If you don't read it, you can't know what it has for you. I think of that quote, you cannot love what you never taste. There are some people here that they love deer. And Joe and I, we've talked about it. I think it's just a mind thing where I just think, man, I don't want to eat Bambi. And again, it's just a mind thing. And you know, some people, they don't like deer. And, you know, but you're never going to love it if you don't taste it. The same thing is true with the Bible. You're never going to love it if you don't open it, if you don't read it, if you don't see what it has for you. And just, you know, along the line of loving God's word. You know, and this is something that, you know, Mandy taught me, because, you know, what I do sometimes is when I would have my Bible, I'd have it, I'd have books, and then I'd stack my books on top of the Bible and I'd carry them like this. And she, you know, she got me to see, you know, we ought not to stack things on our Bible. You know, the Bible, if you have a stack of books, the Bible should be on top of those books. Don't put anything on top of your Bibles. It's the living word of God. And love your Bible. But then secondly, this morning, we not only need to love God's word, we need to listen to God's word. We need to listen to God's word. Notice verse number 18. Psalm 119 and verse number 18. The Bible says, "Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law." The psalmist here is not asking for new revelation. He's asking for illumination. That word open, it's from the Hebrew galal, which means to uncover or to reveal. Listen to this warning, the truth is already there, but what we need our eyes to be opened. Notice verse 33 and 34. Psalm 119, verse 33, 34, the Bible says, "Teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statutes, and I shall keep it unto the end. Give me understanding, and I shall keep thy law. Yea, I shall observe it with my whole heart." Teach me, O Lord, give me understanding. Listen, when we read our Bibles on a daily basis, our daily Bible reading must be prayerful. And listening means that we slow down. We ask questions. We allow correction. Notice verse 36. "Incline my heart unto thy testimonies, and not to covetousness." Now that word "incline" means to bend, to stretch toward. Listen, our hearts, we naturally bend toward distraction. We bend toward self. We bend toward sin. And so we need to ask God to help bend us toward Scripture. We need to ask God to help bend us toward His Word. Again, this psalm, it was likely written in affliction. Again, verses that we looked at, they mentioned princes speaking against him, the proud forging lies. It mentions persecution. And yet, in all of that suffering, he listens. And listen, here's the truth this morning. Affliction is often what makes our ears attentive. Because when we're going through affliction, we're trying to hear his still small voice. We're trying to hear that he's still there. We're trying to hear that he's still present. We're trying to hear that he hasn't left us or forsaken us or forgotten us. And here's the good news. He hasn't. Even if sometimes it feels like it, he hasn't. But listen, I've likened it many times to this. You know, when you were in school and you were taking a test, guess what? The teacher, they were quiet. And listen, sometimes when we're going through a test, the teacher's quiet, but he's still there. He's still with you each step of the way. Hebrews 12:11 reminds us, no chastening seemeth to be joyous, but it does produce fruit. And so before you read your Bible each day, pray, "Lord, show me something today." And when you're reading it, ask, "Well, what does this teach me about God? What does this reveal about me?" And then here's the question we never like to ask. Well, what must change in my life? Because listen, the Bible says that the Bible is like a mirror. It's sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing and dividing asunder even to the heart and spirit and the intents and thoughts of the of men. It knows us, and it knows what we must change. Listening transforms reading into communion. So we must love God's word. We must listen to God's word. Then thirdly, this morning, we must live God's word. We must live God's word. Notice there, if you would, verse number 9. Verse number 9, the Bible says, "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word." That word "cleanse," again, from the Hebrew zakah, which means to be made pure. And listen, the Bible is not merely just a history book. It's not just merely for information. And so many people, they read the Bible and all they want is the information out of it. But the Bible was written for transformation. Notice verse number 11. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. That word hid, it means to treasure up carefully. What? Why? What's the purpose? So that we might have victory over sin. If we have God's word hidden in our hearts, when temptation comes, we can be like Jesus. When temptation came against Jesus in the Old or in the New Testament, and Satan came against him, how did Jesus fight off Satan and his temptations? He answered him with the word of God. And so when Satan comes to us to tempt us, we need to make sure we have the word of God hid in our heart so we can say and quote and have scripture at the ready and say, no, not today, Satan, get thee behind me, Satan. Again, Jesus modeled this in Matthew chapter 4 when he quoted scripture against Satan. Notice Psalm 119, notice verse 105. Verse 105, the Bible says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Again, if you know anything about ancient times, a lamp in ancient times was small, not like we have today. I mean, on our phones, we have flashlights and we can turn on a flashlight and these things are bright. Sometimes when I come to bed at night, I have my flashlight on and then he says, shut your light off. I can't shut it off. Hold on. Because there we go. And because I'm blind in earth. And it does. But here in ancient times, they were small. It gave just enough light for the next step. It didn't give light for the whole journey. And listen, today, we want floodlights. We want the whole path illuminated. But listen, God does not give floodlights. He gives footsteps. Just enough to see the next step. You know, I often thought about that. Why doesn't he just give us the whole picture? Because if he gave us the whole picture, we wouldn't trust him. Because then we could say, oh yeah, I know everything that's going to happen and everything that's coming up. But God just gives us just enough so that we trust him. Notice verse 71. Verse 71, the Bible says, it is good for me that I have been afflicted. Man, we don't think that today, do we? When tough times come and trials come and things don't go the way we think they should go, I mean, we just think that, you know, we're near death's door when those things happen sometimes. But here the psalmist says, it is good for me that I have been afflicted. Why? There that colon again. Or semicolon, I think that. No, that's a colon. Or wait. No. Semi. Man, I need a bigger Bible. that I might learn thy statutes. We have a hard time saying that when affliction comes. Oh, it was good for me that I went through that cancer. It was good for me that I went through that death. It was good for me that I went through that divorce. Or it was good for me that I went through that. And you fill in the blank. Why? That I might learn thy statutes. Affliction drove him to obedience. And again, listen, some of us, we struggle with this verse. But listen, the verse does not say affliction is enjoyable. It doesn't say it's enjoyable. But it does say that it's beneficial. And listen, trials this morning usually expose what we truly believe. And so after you read your Bible each day, ask yourself, well, what must I obey? What must I repent of? What promise must I trust? James 1:22, the Bible says, be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. So yes, we need to listen to the word of God, but we need to take it a step further and not just listen, but we need to live the word of God. Because information without obedience produces spiritual pride. So we need to love God's word. We need to listen to God's word. We need to live God's word. And then fourthly and finally this morning, we need to lead with God's word. We need to lead with God's word. Notice verse 46. Verse 46, the Bible says, I will speak of thy testimonies also before kings and will not be ashamed. You know, when you read your Bible on a daily basis, that helps prepare you to influence others. Listen, the psalmist here, he was not hiding the truth. He was proclaiming it. Notice verse 63. I am a companion of all them that fear thee, and of them that keep thy precepts. God's word will shape your circle. And leadership begins with alignment. Notice verse 98. 98 through verse 100. The Bible says, Thou through thy commandments hast made me wiser than mine enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients, because I keep thy precepts. Wisdom flows from Scripture. In a world that is not short on opinion, in a world that is not short on trends, in a world of an ever-shifting morality, as Christians, we must lead with truth. Not opinion, not trend, not shifting morality. What does the Bible say? That means parents, lead your home with Scripture. As pastors, preach the word, not the culture. Grandparents, pass it down. Young men and women, build your convictions now while you're young, so that when you're old, you will not depart from it. Joshua 1:8, the Bible says, then thou shalt make thy way prosperous. Success in God's eyes is having your lives centered on the word of God. Psalm 119 begins, of all things, with a blessing. Notice verse number 1. Blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. And then it ends with humility. Notice verse 176. I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek thy servant, for I do not forget thy commandments. Even a Bible-loving Christian needs grace. Listen, this psalmist here, he saturated his life with the word of God. And at the end, he still says, I have gone astray. And listen, you may saturate your life with the Word of God, and there still may be times you go astray. But you can always come back. You can always come home. And listen, and here's what we have to understand. Daily Bible reading does not make you perfect. It keeps you close to the shepherd. And so when you read your Bible on a day-by-day basis, make sure you realize you're not reading it to be perfect. You're not reading it for perfection. You're reading it to stay close to God. And if you'll stay close to Him, then you'll be able to face whatever it is that comes your way. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. This morning, let's stand together at our feet.